Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of EKI Energy Services Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good morning. On behalf of DAM Capital, we welcome you all to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of EKI Energy Services. We have with us from the management, Mr. Manish Dabhkara, CMD and CEO, and Mr. Mohit Agrawal, CFO. We will start with the opening remarks by the management, followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mohit and Sarita. Good morning, everyone. I am pleased to welcome you all to our quarter three FY23 earnings conference call. I would like to thank our stakeholders for giving their precious time and being part of our journey. Today on the call, I have with me Mr. Mohit Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer at EKI Energy Services Limited, and our investor relationship partner, Orient Capital. This quarter saw a positive development from our industry as we have received much-awaited clarity from Minister of Power and New and Renewable Energy, Government of India, that the surplus compliance carbon credits from the country will be exported worldwide. There is no impact over exports of voluntary carbon markets to the international carbon markets since there is no issue related to the double counting under the Paris Agreement. This move will ensure stability as the domestic carbon market gears up for the development of the national ETS under Energy Conservation Act, amended Act 2022, a revolutionary step for India. This will also facilitate a strong influx of climate finance to India, which will be used for climate action initiatives across the country for carbon reduction projects and interventions. EKI is positioned well to provide expertise and services to foreign entities and facilitate transactions under Article 6 of the Paris Agreement regime, given its project development experience in 40+ nations. Further clarity on regulations are expected by year-end after completion of COP28 at UAE. The key headwinds for the international voluntary carbon markets, which do impact top line and bottom line of the organization are continued Russia-Ukraine war, which has subdued economic growth and driven funds away from discretionary expenses related to carbon neutrality. Global concerns around high inflation and recession and inflated energy prices resulting in deferment of offsetting decision. However, overall, voluntary carbon market has grown at an accelerated pace to $2 billion in 2021 over 2 years, and is expected to grow to around $50 billion by year 2030. Once the macroeconomic conditions improve, market is likely to see a gradual uptick of demand for carbon credits, given the increasing net zero commitments and investors' activism driving compliance. Further, Budget 2023 gave a fresh thrust to India's transition to clean energy. Our finance minister announced rupees 35,000 crore, that means approximately $4 billion, in priority capital investment towards energy transition, which will help achieve India's goal of net zero carbon emissions by year 2070. The government proposed a green credit program, which will incentivize environmentally sustainable and responsive actions by companies and individuals. India's plan to increase its annual green hydrogen production to 5 million tons by 2030, reduce dependence on fossil fuel imports, and cut greenhouse gas emissions by nearly 50 million tons. The push for green energy is increasing day by day, and these initiatives will lead to development of carbon credits, which will be mobilized on a large scale. We are working closely with the government authorities in advancing carbon market and green energy initiatives. EKI Energy had incorporated Climacool Projects and EduTech Limited, a joint venture company with First Source Energy India Private Limited and its promoters, to launch India's first ever climate edtech and climate finance marketplace. The JV will drive focused educational initiatives and mobilize funds from global philanthropic funds for sustainable climate projects across the globe. The entity will drive focused initiatives for developing future carbon leaders who will provide strong foundation to carbon industry where requested skilled resources are highest or the biggest challenge. Additionally, EKI established 4 wholly owned subsidiaries given its focus on diversifying the credits and expanding into community-based projects in India and globally. These SPVs are incorporated for development of dedicated climate sustainable projects in focused manner. We also announced collaboration with DNB, a Norway-based independent assurance and risk management provider, to foster climate transition ecosystem with innovation and digitization by numerous measures. DNB is an independent expert in assurance and risk management driven by the purpose of to safeguard life, property and the environment for their customers and stakeholders with facts and reliable insights. DNB is a world-renowned testing, verification, certification and technical advisory services to the energy value chain, including renewables, oil and gas, and energy management. The collaboration is in line with EKI's aim to diversify and expand further to advisory services. Through this collaboration, EKI will extend advisory services to DNB's assurance customers on their journey towards carbon neutrality and net zero. Coming back to the performance for 9 months ended 31st December 2022, EKI reported standalone revenue of Indian rupees 1364.2 crores. Standalone EBITDA stood at rupees 319.8 crores and PAT stood at 240.7 crores. I would like to highlight some of the key reasons for the drop in the performance versus the same period last year. The first one is prolonged Ukraine war, subduing economic growth and reducing discretionary expenditure towards carbon neutrality. And second one is the anticipation of inflation and recession leading to deferment of decision on carbon credit utilization for offsetting by corporates. We have strong inventory of about 14 million carbon credits, of which approximately 25% are from non-technology-based solutions. In addition, the company continues to actively expand its portfolio to include a wider variety of carbon credits through its lines. We are committed to the risk management by actively focusing on working capital management. We believe market conditions will stabilize in a couple of quarters, and we expect to see a pick in second half of FY24. With respect to limited review report by the auditor, I would like to reiterate that there is no any issue with our accounting policies and practices, and there is only a difference in interpretation of NAS 115. The auditor is of the opinion that we should book revenue and cost for Cooke's Road distribution only after issuance of the carbon credits. However, since we have actually distributed Cooke's Road, received full contractual amount from the client, and we have also processed the project under client's name, and the client is owning the project, we have booked revenue from distribution of Cooke's Road, which is in line with the accounting standards and essence of the agreement. And as and when we receive our share of carbon credits from this project, we'll do sell them and book the further revenues from the contract that we have signed. The sharing of credit is for providing services of monitoring, verification, and issuance of carbon credits. Mohit will explain this in further detail when he provides financial updates. I want to thank our team of climate warriors for showing resilience despite these challenges. Apart from this, we have seen carbon market evolving with increased accountability of voluntary carbon market credits with a particular focus on forestry projects. We see as a positive development towards further maturing of carbon markets, few initiatives we have taken to further strengthen our position, which are first one is building a diversified portfolio of projects and credits. That means coming from community-based projects, waste management projects, and other categories, including credits from multiple certifiers like Gold Standard, Verified Carbon Standard, Global Carbon Council, Clean Development Mechanism, etc. Geographical expansion plan in developed and developing nations both, defining quality criteria and due diligence procedures for assessment of credits before purchasing. Example, a robust monitoring process for dynamic baselines and improved value chain to improve transparency and trustworthiness. We encourage our buyers to check the sustainable development goals as decision-making criteria to procure the credits. We continue to improve as a company to provide better services to our customers. In the short run, EKA would focus on CapEx inclusion for our own accruals and term loans to have sustainable supply of carbon credits. This will reduce the dependability on our supplier and modify mix of carbon credits in our portfolio. Using working capital cycle from existing to provide cash and cash equivalent to fund the CapEx without any debt, and organization restructuring to strengthen the execution, accelerating the issuance of credits and its monetization. And in the long run, we would continue to diversify the business verticals, that is starting IT integrated ESG reporting, including carbon ledger, carbon bookkeeping, carbon credit supply to individual offsets, individual level offsets. Also, we would invest in biogas electricity generation projects, which is again linked with the generation of carbon credits and its ancillary activities such as skill development program to provide resources to help in faster execution of projects, partnership with multiple layers for development of policies, exchanges and marketplaces, etc. Further, we shall continue to geographically expand to developed and developing nations to access and user of carbon credits along with the suppliers. Appoint additional independent directors with experience in energy transition or affiliated sectors, as well as financial and regulatory compliances. To lay down the good corporate governance environment within the organization, we have onboarded globally renowned accounting and assurance firm Walker Chandiok and Company LLP, which is the associated firm of Grant Thornton, as statutory auditor. Further, we have appointed Protivity India Private Limited as an internal auditor. We are committed to adopt the good international policies, processes and infrastructure in organization, which will provide long-term sustainable foundation for the growth of our business. The company has opened up new sales and marketing offices in Mumbai and Delhi to have close contact with big corporates, financial and regulatory bodies. Now, we have seen a substantial growth over the past 5 years in terms of carbon credits mobilized, building customer base, geographical expansion and diversification of our carbon solutions. Given our strategic efforts, we would continue to retain leadership position in the market. We are constantly monitoring the macroeconomic environment and are proactive in assessing new opportunities as we continue to retain our market leadership. We are very much confident that carbon market will grow gradually and EKA will have major market share with the help of its investors, stakeholders, employees and clients. Now I would like to hand over the call to Mohit for financial updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Manishji. Good morning, everyone. Let me brief you on the financial highlights for 9 months FY23. In 9 months FY23, our standalone revenue increased by 3% to ₹1,364 crores compared to the same period last year. For 9 months, our standalone EBITDA stood at 319.8 crores and EBITDA margin stood at 23.4%. 9 months consolidated PAT stood at 240.7 crore and PAT margin stood at 17.6%. As Manish already mentioned, we have a strong mix of inventory in stock as well as pipeline of variety of carbon credits. Inventory is valued at cost or NRV, whichever is lower. So holding inventory has no financial drawdown for the company. During the quarter ended 31st December 2022 and 30th September 2022 and 9 month period ended 31st December 2022, we have recognized revenue from contracts with certain customers. However, as Manish mentioned, in view of the statutory auditor, the aforesaid revenues and the corresponding cost to fulfill the underlying performance obligation is not consistent with the accounting principle as stated in Ind AS 115. Revenue from contracts with customer as the performance obligation of delivering the verified carbon unit, that is VCU, under the aforesaid agreement, arrangement or agreement is not yet satisfied by the company. This is the view of our statutory auditor. However, we at EKI would like to say that this is a difference of opinion in interpretation of Ind AS 115, as the following principles are satisfied with respect to the contract. Substance over form states that there is no performance obligation as cook stoves are procured and distributed among the beneficiaries, and the data of the same is already shared with our client. Transfer of underlying asset, that is ownership of the project, is already in favor of our client. Okay. Satisfaction of performance obligation and transfer of projects to clients already done. We have received a standalone transaction prices as per the contractual agreement in our books. Also, we'll receive our sharing of carbon credits over the years for providing services, and accordingly, revenue will be booked in future as per accounting standard for carbon credit issued and sold. To conclude, if revenue recognition is accounted for as per the auditor's opinion, then it will only lead to deferment of recognition of revenue from those contracts and will not materially affect the profitability of the company in the long run. However, we are following the essence of Ind AS 115 and contractual obligation to book the revenue. Detailed explanation on each of the points which I have mentioned in my speech are included in slide number 18 in our investor deck, and someone can refer that, and will request to drop a mail for any clarity on the same. We are happy to address the queries from our valuable partners at any moment. This is all from my side. We can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question.
Yeah, so I would like to understand, we have seen a pretty sharp drop in your sales in the third quarter. Can you give some color with respect to the volumes? Just to understand how the, volumes and realization have behaved.
During quarter one, the supply volume was in the range of around 19 million. During quarter two, again, the same 19 million. And during quarter three, it was around 18 million credits.
Okay, so the drop has basically been in the realization side because it is 19, 19 and 18. So, I would understand that the prices would have come off sharply in the third quarter.
Yeah, because of the headwinds for the international voluntary carbon markets, which I have covered during my speech, there were specific reasons behind the same, and I mentioned the same in the speech.
Yeah, and how has the prices behaved? The third quarter is over, and say in December. But if you can give some color with respect to October, November, December, and till now, whether the prices remain as it is, or primarily has there been an improvement, or is it also because we had a poorer mix in the third quarter? So just to understand on an apple to apple basis, what has really changed there?
Sorry, sir. Can you repeat your question?
So, I mean, if I'm looking at 18 million, credits and the realization for that, it is not equivalent every month. So if I'm, splitting the month between October, November, December, and I mean, I don't want the exact number today, I mean, as we are in February. I mean, how has the prices behaved? Has there been an improvement in price or is it remaining stagnant, et cetera?
Price, you want to say that, you want to track the monthly price trend, correct, sir?
Yeah, just the price trends. Yes.
Yeah, I can understand. Price trend remains same in the quarters. That means you can say 5 or 7% here and there, but there is no significant movement in the prices on during the quarters in every month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, with respect to the revenue recognition, I mean, you had earlier said, but just to, get a little bit more clarity. I mean, if I understand correctly, I mean, this is for the cook stoves. So typically when you enter into the, agreement and you buy the cook stove, and as the cook stove is transferred to your customer, you basically book the amount and the cost as, both the entries. But, the auditor primarily would, request, or, as per the accounting, it basically should be recognized as the amount is received. Is that correct? I mean, is that the difference or is there something that I'm missing?
No, I will explain you, sir. There is a two-part in the contract, cook stove contract, which was done, and this is the first year which we have, where we have done. First part is a manufacturing under distribution part, where, let's take an example, you have given an order of 100,000 cook stoves to me to distribute on your behalf, to generate, okay? Then, what I will do, and on a fixed price mode, so in that scenario, you will pay me, let's take an example, 3,000 rupees per cook stove, we have agreed the prices. In that scenario, 100,000 into 3,000, you will pay me in the milestones whatsoever we will agreed, and we will get it manufactured and procured and distribute to the beneficiaries at a local level, means field level. Okay? Then the second part of this contract will be the registration, verification, monitoring, and issuance of the carbon credits. And that will take, after the distribution of the cook stoves, that will take another 7 to 8 months time horizon. And for that, we have agreed that some of the sharing of the credit will be done between ETI and the client. Okay, so there are two parts of revenue and two part of the contract. We have executed first part and project is already registered and transferred to the client also.
Okay. And the second part, I mean, yeah, on the
second
part we
Second part is in progress, and as and when its credit will get issued, our revenue will get generated from that. And that will be done in the future, means 4-5 months down the line, as and when credit will get issued.
Sure. And I mean, one final question before I move back. I mean, you typically have a revenue sharing and, you also give a client, certain color with respect to the, credit cost. But in this case, I mean, you basically get the contract or the credit from, the client, and if the prices have fallen. So how does, I mean, do you take the full impact, the difference between what the client should have got and what, he is getting into your numbers, or does the client take a, proportionate part of certain amount of loss?
Sir, we always took a credit on our books. That's why, whenever we pay to the client, that is coming as a direct cost in our books of account. And when we offload or when we sold the credits in open market, that becomes my top line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Go ahead. Mr. Nikhil Abhyankar?
Yeah. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, earlier in the year, you had given a guidance of 100-110 credits for the year. So given that you have reached 55 million, do you still stay with the guidance?
Yeah. So, if we do add this three quarter volume, which comes out to be around 56 million, Definitely, in reference to the inventory, supply of inventory, either which is there at the books or under process, or maybe we'll do buy directly from the clients which already have the issued credits. We are looking forward once to meet the numbers that we have informed earlier. Provided the headwinds do support the target to meet. There is no any problem in reference to the supply of credits. Only the thing is once the buyers will do come up with the headwinds which is associated with international voluntary carbon markets, thereafter everything will be there in place.
Understood, sir. Earlier in October, you had announced a tie-up with Adani Green. So, can you just tell us in brief, like, what this partnership entails?
With Adani Green, that was an association. Actually, we have formed called as Carbon Markets Association of India, in which not only Adani but various different project owners like ACME or other different investors who are there in India are the part of that specific association. So there is no any specific collaboration or other type of MOU that we have signed with Adani Green specifically. It was an association that we have formed with a name. I will do repeat again the same. It's Carbon Markets Association of India.
Understood. And so what is the purpose of this association basically? So is it to develop a standardized market or exactly I want to understand that.
Yeah, actually, as you know, in India, compliance market is upcoming in the through the implementation of Energy Conservation Act 2022. The sellers would be having three different options to sell the credits. One is to sell the credits in the international carbon markets, voluntary carbon markets, international Article 6 markets, which will be under Paris Agreement, and domestic emission trading scheme, which will be through Energy Conservation Act 22. So it is to create more awareness at the government organizations or the policymakers level, or to create more awareness related to the obligated entities under the Act, Energy Conservation Act, and having all three different markets, they should work hand in hand or without having any conflict. So to give more clarity to the policymakers, we have formed this specific association.
Understood. So now I would like to ask about the cooking stoves. So what is the capex that we have done and till now, and what is the target capex?
Can you please read how much capital?
What is the capex till now for the cooking stoves that we have done already, and what is the target for the complete project?
Sir, we have done a capex of till date approximately 24 crore. Okay, out of that 8 crore is in Africa. We are doing a pilot project in Africa on a cooker stove distribution, and remaining in India only. And we are expecting that in next 5 to 6 months, we are expecting that it will be somewhere around 100 crore plus.
Okay, within next 5 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. And so just a final question from my side. So what is the value of the 14 million credits that we are holding right now?
Okay. That is somewhere around 247.
247 crores.
Crores, yes.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thanks a lot. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Milind Rag from Rag & Associates. Please go ahead.
Sir, I've understood the portion on revenue recognition between the view of management and the auditor. My question to the CFO is, when are we expecting this timing difference to cut up? I mean, how many months or quarters it will take for this mismatch to elapse?
This will be done in next 6 months time period, approximately.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mahendra Jain from Way to Wealth Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is regarding the college of Crete, like deforestation or this green energy credits are not verified by very high quality standard agencies. So is that we are suffering from, or are we planning anything into technology removal like high grade direct air capture and all these things in future? This is my first question. And second is that what are the chances that we can go into losses because of we are in buying and selling of credit, and is there is any chances that our inventory may go into losses and all these things? What do you look as in future, in next 2 to 3 quarters?
Yes, so there are 3 different categories. One is the technology-based credits, so that means the credits which are coming from renewable energy and energy efficiency. Second category is community-based projects, like the credits coming from cookshow projects or water filter or LED. And third category is nature-based solution activity, which also can be divided into 2 parts. One is related to the forest conservation, and second one is afforestation. Reforestation, this means planting new trees. So as of now, we have major exposure to the renewable energy and energy efficiency projects, that means technology driven projects. The second one is community based projects. So these are the 2 different category projects we do have. The third category, that means, comes from nature based solution activity. So we do have almost no exposure to such kind of credits as of now, because from the past we are very strong in the first and second category, and third category we do not have any the projects for which we are the large number of projects, only less than 10 projects we do have, and the inventory is almost negligible as compared to the technology and inventory, the community based projects. The second question is related to the inventory prices. So whatever the stock or the inventory that we do have is at very below market average price as of now. And there is very less chance that the same may go into the losses, because we always, as per our internal risk management policies, we do not give high volume or high worth or you can say high market price inventory on our books. Whenever it comes, we'll do try to push the same within 5-10 days. So that is the strategy we do have to mitigate the associated risk.
Sir, I mean, if there is any demand drop in this renewable type energy credit? Because there was a Bloomberg report that a renewable energy carbon credit is not going to sustain in longer future. So are you taking that argument, or I mean, any, you are planning anything else to sustain and better way to deliver better credit?
Sir, during next 10 years, we do not foresee that there will be any decrease in demand. As you know, the credits are of 2 types. One is avoidance-based carbon credits, and avoidance-based carbon credits comes under all these 3 different categories. Like forest conservation. Second one is community-based projects. Third one is the technology-based credits like renewable energy efficiency. So during next 10 years, we do not foresee that there will be any reduction in demand for such kind of credits. In fact, during 2021 and during 2022, 10%, almost 7 to 10% more demand was there for the renewable energy projects. So some stakeholders do interpret that such kind of projects, since VTS and Gold Standard do not allow new project registrations to from the renewable sector industry in India and China or maybe Turkey, but there are other standards like Global Carbon Council. They do allow such kind of registration, so there is no any issue related to the quality of renewable energy projects, but there are few stakeholders, they do anticipate that the credit should not be, this carbon finance should not be allocated to the projects which are mega, which are into the mega scale like renewable energy efficiency, and should be diverted to towards the community or maybe afforestation, reforestation related projects. So the industry
a few stakeholders do think like this, but if you do check the number of retirements that had been done by the buyers during last 2021-2022, there is no, we do not foresee any reduction in demand for such kind of retirements.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me? I mean, train, sorry. So, my sir, last question is that, okay, what are the basic main cause behind this low profitable compared to the last all quarters? Being our same credit like 19 million or 20 million we are producing or buying from market, so then price fluctuation is around 5 to 7%, then where is the wrong, like what is the real cause?
Can you repeat, sir? 5 to 7% what?
The price fluctuation between three quarters of carbon credit is around 5 to 7% as you say. Like the drop in prices is around 5 to 7%. Volatility is around 5 to 7%. Then what is the actual cause of getting so down in profit? Like from 100 crore to around 40 crore. So what are the cause and what is the reason behind that? Beyond same top line, sir.
Yeah, top line is same, sir, but if you will see the direct cost, that has been increased because prices has been revised. Prices as selling price has been revised, but in quarter one and quarter two, we were revising the prices for procurement also, and that came into a quarter three on a higher side. Means some of the bigger clients has revised the procurement price also, and we are happy to share the revenues because we want the client with us for a longer time. So that's the main reason because our cost of procurement has been increased from last two quarters.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That is so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a next question from the line of Ashok from TechChip. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think my questions have already been answered to some extent. But only one thing, one is a very categorical thing, that certain revenues have not been considered by auditor and a kind of... So if that revenue has not been considered, that means our inventories have gone up correspondingly?
No, sir. We have not given any impact in financials. There is no impact of this one given in the financials. They have given only a qualification report in their LRR. No adjustment has been done in the books of account.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That is all from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sudeep, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Yeah, so I was wondering, as an individual investor, is there any way to track these carbon credit prices as an individual investor? So I was looking at carboncredits.com and I see various prices there. So the company's prices are connected to these prices?
Yes. So actually, 95% of the trades that do happen in the international voluntary carbon market used to happen over the counter deals, while only less than 5% of the deals used to happen over the marketplaces which do exist in the present scenario. So it is very, very tough to check for the prices because for the normal stakeholder, if they do refer the prices for the credits which are associated with the European Union Emission Trading Scheme, then the rates, the prices or the volume is increasing day by day, and which had crossed around $100 during last couple of months. While in case of international voluntary carbon markets, this is not the case. So these are totally disassociated or not connected markets. The compliance market, regional compliance markets like California Cap and Trade or European Union Emission Trading Scheme or Korea, South Korea Emission Trading Scheme or China Emission Trading Scheme. So they are international offsets. They do not allow, and we do not work under such kind of compliance schemes. We only work in the international voluntary carbon market. So it is tough for the normal stakeholder to track the prices from the, because there is no any reporting requirement for the buyers and sellers to report related to the volumes or related to the prices which are there in the market. And it is for the normal stakeholder, it is tough, but although since we do work day in, day out in the market, we are closely associated with what is happening at the different parts of the carbon market across the world.
Okay. So one more question, sir. So so you said the last quarter total carbon credits have been 17, and before that quarter we did 18. So
yeah, during quarter one, quarter two it was 19, and during quarter three it was 18.
Okay, so there was a small dip in the total number of sales, but the expenses went up. Also, the prices of the carbon credits went down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what was the erosion like from the quarter one to quarter three in the prices of the voluntary carbon credits?
Yeah, the reason for getting the low frequency for the trades and the low prices is since the major buyers of the international carbon markets are located there at Europe, and as you know, because of the Russia-Ukraine war, there is a high inflation in reference to the energy prices and the other economical parameters within that specific economy. And there, the buyers, they are looking, that means this is the discretionary expenses, the carbon neutrality and net zero expenses is a discretionary expense because, as we call it, as the international voluntary carbon market. So that means it's a voluntary for them to comply and to manage their financials. They are expecting low prices, and they are also bifurcating the buying of the credits for next quarters. So that is the reason behind of this headwinds in the voluntary carbon markets.
Right now the natural gas prices have come down, the energy costs have come down. So you believe that there should be an uptick in the prices of voluntary carbon prices?
Definitely, we do foresee the same, but exactly we do foresee that during the second half of this calendar year, we may be able to see more stability in reference to the more increase in the demand, and further the prices will also go up. Because as you know, it is very inevitable for any organization to not to comply or not to follow ESG, not to comply with the domestic emission trading schemes, or not to comply with the international peer pressure related to the decarbonization. And carbon credit is the solution, at last solution for any organization if they are looking to become carbon neutral or net zero, because no organization or no country would be able to achieve this specific two goals of carbon neutrality or net zero goals without the help of carbon offsetting, because it is impossible for any specific organization or country to not to emit anything and have the similar GDP or business or economic growth. So carbon credits are a very, very important part of the whole journey for any organization or country to become net zero or carbon neutral. And these are the small small impacts that we do foresee in the international carbon market. But in the medium term and long term, definitely more and more buyers will do come, and more demand would be there, which is being anticipated by Bloomberg, by BCG, by McKinsey through their various different articles, that definitely the market is tend to grow during year 2025, by 2025, by 2030, or by 2050. Both at the voluntary carbon market front and the compliance carbon market front. Although in the present market scenario, we do not work in the compliance carbon market because in India it do not exist. During 2023, it is going to get established. And the international compliance market there at Europe or South Korea, we do not work in that specific area, but we are looking to get addition of more geographies and more emission trading schemes to work during next quarters.
So in next few quarters, we can expect the net profits to increase, right?
definitely our main intent is to grow that means grow the volume, and definitely then more and more demand will do come with a limited supply of credits. Price are intended to grow in coming few quarters.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Sudeep, does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jay Patel from Hanimi Group. Please go ahead.
Yes. First of all, very good morning. My first question is that how many carbon credits does EKI generate by itself? Like, not through your contracts, but as a company.
How many carbon credits which are being generated till date?
Yeah. No, let's just go with the current quarter.
So the credits that we have supplied is around 18 million during last quarter, and the total inventory we do have is around 14 million credits.
No, so these carbon credits are generated exclusively by EKI, like not contractually you procure it from your clients, but by your own company.
Yeah, these are being generated in-house through our comprehensive advisory services.
Okay, and lately IEX announced that it's going to open a carbon credit exchange in India.
Yeah.
So how will EKI benefit from it? So currently you procure the carbon credits from your clients to generate them, and then you sell it in international markets or companies who are in need. So how will this help you grow more? I'm just curious, because the clients could be selling it directly to the exchange, through your contract they'll sell it to you, but they might directly sell it to the exchange and get money in return. So how will EKI benefit from it? That's the main question.
Yeah, so if you see the similar exchanges have been announced there at different parts of the world, and there are various inefficiencies or deficit of the infrastructure which is there, which do help all these exchanges or marketplaces to grow. So I cannot comment about the IEX initiative, but if you do see the trend which is there globally, or the percentage of the market share, these marketplaces, in fact they call them as exchanges, but they are working as in marketplace. It is being anticipated during next 5 to 10 years it would be they would not be able to get substantial market share in reference to different kinds of voluntary carbon credits which are there, which are depending, their prices are dependent on the country of origin, vintage, technology, sustainable development goal parameters, programs, quality of auditor, consultant, and the sellers. So it is very, very tough for such exchanges to have substantial market share in coming few years.
Okay, and my last question is that you also announced that you'll be coming into the plastic credit and you'll be coming into the forest credit. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but so in terms of margin, which credit gives you the most amount of margins when you sell it?
There are different types of commodities which are there in the market, right? Like renewable energy certificates or carbon credits or plastic credits. So the globally accepted commodity is the carbon credits, and second level the accepted one is the renewable energy certificates. In fact, in international renewable energy certificates, and it comes is the plastic credit. Plastic credit volume, the number of projects are very, very less. I think it will do grow in next 3 to 4 years timeline. But before that, we are also doing some piloting of the projects and trying to find the whole
ecosystem related to the buyers and sellers of the credit. So that specific market is very, very less in the international plastic markets, you say. But in India, we do also have EPR mechanism wherein the obligation is there over the plastic producers to buy the credits originated from India only. Although we are not working very closely with that specific market because we do have good opportunities to grow in the international carbon markets.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have our next question from the line of Amish Kanani from JM Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Manish, two questions from my side. Our margins, for the quarter has come down to a standalone margin at 11.5%. And if I do the quick math, the realization for the carbon credit this quarter is more like $2.75. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the question is, in the past, our realization was more like $3. So a 10% decline in, the average pricing, if I take it that way, does it result in a 20% decline in, EBITDA margin from 30 to 11.5? So maybe, as what you said, we have also paid probably a higher price for our purchase. So if you can explain what is a sustainable, EBITDA margin, in that sense, if you can share that, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, so the sustainable EBITDA margin definitely will do depend on the more the prices. And as you know, to create the average pricing is not the correct formula because all different credits are having the different vintages, different programs, different technology and country of origin. So to coming up over the average number and comparing with the last quarter performance may not be the correct gauge to measure with. So actually the procurement price also do vary on quarter-to-quarter basis depending on the different contracts that we do have. During last specific quarter, then the major inventory that had been mobilized was having low margin, while the credits which are having high margin or high share had got deviated because of the low issuances from the regulatory bodies. So the mix was not as compared to during quarter one and quarter two. We had got good mix. While in quarter three, it was not the same case, and that was the specific reason of having low margins.
Sure, miss. But is it possible to give us some indication of sustainable margin? Will it be, say, 20% plus or 20 below 20%, something like that, on an annual basis? New normal?
So, depending on. So the number of projects and the credits for which we work, we always target that we should be able to maintain in between 20 to 25%. But depending on the different global factors, it may impact. But the internal target for us is having the correct mix of the credits from different technology, country, and other different parameters should be in between 20 to 25%.
Okay, sure. And partly you answered that IEX question, but just to kind of probe further, if and when that exchange come, when do you think that exchange will come, and whether the pricing that will be there in that exchange, whether buyers will hold their inventory and probably tend to directly sell. So what I'm trying to understand is, Manish, we have two parts of our business. One is trading of carbon, buying from client and selling and then sharing some profit there. But probably large part of our business will be, advisory and registration and audit type of businesses, which, probably no one else can do barring few companies in India. So the question is, if and when that IEX come, the trading part of the business will have some, effect. So your thoughts on that and when that can happen? Well, thanks.
Yeah, if you see during last 2 years, many exchanges that I already replied in the last few questions, during last 2 years, as you see, many exchanges had got incorporated or had got launched across the world
And in fact, those exchanges, they call them as an exchange, but they do work as a marketplace during last 2 years. There are many inefficiencies which are being associated for any exchange because the meaning of exchange, as we all know, that means the buyer should come with volume and price, seller should come with volume and price, and exchange to its metrics should be able to give the proper rates to the demand and supply which is there in the market. So during last 2 years, or in fact during since this voluntary carbon market do exist for last 15 years, during last 15 years, not at the national level but at the international level, in the specific international voluntary carbon market in which we work, in case of compliance market, since it's being driven by law, and there is being there in India called as Energy Conservation Act 22. Under that specific market, obviously the trades would get regulated, but in case of international voluntary market, carbon market, there is no any regulatory body who do regulate the volumes, prices, buyers and sellers, and it is very, very challenging situation for any exchange of marketplace to bring buyers, global buyers and global sellers over one platform and then help them to determine a specific trade price. So it is very, very challenging for last 15, 17 years in our international voluntary carbon markets, and we do foresee that during next 5 to 10 years, the same challenge will do remain with the industry.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Hawkes.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Milind Raag from Raag & Associates. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is about ESG and Net Zero Consulting vertical. The presentation mentions that, you know, we have acquired 15 clients in Q3. These are project-based or these are retainership? And if you can let me know, what is the average tick value for the contracts?
Yes, so we do have our in-house vertical which helps buyers of the carbon credit to get through their ESG journey and low carbon pathways. So we help organizations to determine their carbon footprint, having low carbon pathways, and then also help them to achieve carbon neutrality or net zero emission goals, not only in India but across the globe. So through that specific like the companies, they do have their specific journey of 3 to 5 years or maybe 10 years, and in between at the last they do procure the credit. So initially it would be the consulting services that we are providing, and the clients, they do have different kind of services needs related to someone only wish to determine their carbon footprint, only wish to optimize their low carbon pathways, and finally if you do go through the complete life cycle within a short span of time. So the revenue obviously depend on the maturity of the services and the maturity of the client who is looking to adopt all those services or get those services. The ultimate goal of ours is to help buyer of credits to have their obligations, internal voluntary obligations that they had committed to have a proper ESG ratings for them, or ultimately achieve carbon neutrality net zero goals. So depending on specific years, the revenue will do vary on depending on the client to client or service to service basis.
Okay. In that case, sir, will you be able to give any guidance for the upcoming quarters for this vertical?
This vertical is the enabler for us to position ourselves with the buyer of credit to supply the credits for years to come. And so definitely we are intended to grow this specific vertical not only in India but across the globe, so that we can remain closely associated with the buyer of credits while helping them to determine their carbon footprint or ESG needs, or maybe low carbon pathways, and ultimately supply the credits to them. So with the same goal, we are
also trying to integrate with the information technology so that like SaaS-based model or other different models, so that clients would be able to do it by their own, and then ultimately we'll do help them to provide the credits within the same portal. So that is the near future plans we do have in reference to giving the services physically or through information technology.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. I would now like to hand over the call to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much for everyone for joining this call, and now we are committed to grab all the opportunities related to the voluntary carbon markets and upcoming compliance carbon markets across the globe, and definitely we are well positioned to have leadership in our carbon markets. Thank you very much for joining this call. And for any specific query, you are requested to forward email to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.